these hoes gon' fuck for sure. Is it my style, the way I roll, that make these haters gon' hate some more? Is it my car, is it my clothes, that make these hoes gon' fuck for sure? Is it my style, the way I roll, that make these haters gon' hate some more? Welcome to the off season. This is an affiliate of Uncut Radio. This is an affiliate of Uncut Sports. And we are your hosts, Kuda Main.
And KJ Deezy. Whoa, what's good?
So, on this first episode on the offseason, we're going to go into a divisional dissection, starting with the Cleveland Browns, a team that I think will make the playoffs this year.
That's a bold prediction.
It's bold, but shit.
It's because you look good on paper. Don't mean you look good on the field.
Shit, everybody can't be with the 2011 Lakers with Dwight Howard, Karl Malone, Steve Nash.
Karl Malone.
He thought he was going to win a ring, shit.
Yeah, fuck it.
But with that, we're just going to give you our taste on the Cleveland Browns, what they did last year, what we think they're going to do this year. That's about it for that. Then once we transition, we're going to give you our takes on the NBA, a couple of draft prospects we think are going to do well this upcoming season, and a little look at the trades that happened in free agency preview.
Sounds good.
All right. So, with the Cleveland Browns, they had a record of 7-8-1.
And that surprised a lot of people. That surprised me, including myself.
It didn't surprise me. Look, people can say what they want, but Tyrod Taylor, I feel like if he got the opportunity, he could be a decent little quarterback in this league just from seeing what he did with the Bills.
I feel like he never has an offensive line, though.
He never do.
He's like the Robert Griffin of today, like no offensive line.
Like, dog. And then you take away his best receiver.
Exactly.
So, we go down to the rankings. They rank 14th in passing, 14th in rushing. Total offense 13th and 20th in points per game.
I feel like with Cleveland going into the 2019 season, you know, we want to look at what they've done so far in offseason. Of course, they've added Odell Beckham Jr. They got Kareem Hunt. They drafted Greedy Williams, Mac Williams, both of those boys off the SEC. And honestly, the offense, we already knew that the offense would be decent because they already had Jarvis Landry, you know, Nick Chubb. But with the addition of Greedy Williams and Mac Wilson, how do you think that the defense will be now? Do you feel like that'll add some more W's to the column?
With the secondary, I think it's going to be one of the best in the league just because Denzel Ward, defensive rookie of the year, he showed that he is a man. He kind of reminded me of Jalen Ramsey a little bit. He just ain't as locked down as Jalen. And he gets in there and tackle. With Greedy, you got another shutdown corner. Mm-hmm. And you got TJ Carey playing the slot, which I think that's the best fit for him. And Demarius Randle actually showed he's a good safety in his natural position, just knowing that they drafted him in Green Bay to be a cornerback. But that was the best year I ever seen him have.
And the scary thing is their defense is so young. So young.
People don't realize that. And I think the addition of Olivier Vernon and Sheldon Richardson going to be good for you as far as interior and another pass rusher on side of Myles Garrett. And with Myles Garrett, I think 13.5 sacks, 16 tackles for loss, I think that's going to open up a lot for Olivier himself, just having 7 sacks last year on the Giants, which is probably the dumbest team in the NFL right now, in my opinion.
And when I think of the Browns, I feel like a lot of their success is going to be on the shoulders of Baker Mayfield, who actually, I was a Baker Mayfield hater last year. Until like later on in the season, or like midway through the season, I actually seen what he was capable of. Like, I underestimated him. I thought he was just an average quarterback from the Big 12, play against no defense in college, come to the league, get exposed. But he surprised me.
I think everybody thought he was Johnny Manziel 2.0. But with me, just ask Edward Mason and B.J. Wesby what I said about that man. A watered down Aaron Rodgers. He ain't got the arm, but he knows how to get the ball to his receivers. And speaking of receivers, what you think Odell might do this year?
Honestly, I feel like Odell is going to be dangerous this year. I'm not saying like as far as stats, but I feel like the fact that him and Jarvis are lined up across from each other, it's going to be like a kind of like an inside competition. So they're going to be hungry. And them boys neither one of them got a playoff victory. So they best believe they're hungry.
And then people fail to realize that going to a team with one of your college teammates and you got your college coach over there, people just don't understand how good that is just for their mental.
Yeah.
With Odell in New York, it was just Eli missing him, the offensive line not giving Eli the time, Odell getting frustrated, and everybody.
Speaking of New York, I feel sorry for Saquon. Saquon going to have to take about 5 ice baths after every game this year.
What? They about to put 9 in the box. I don't trust Golden Tate. Sterling Shepard, he alright. And they banking on Corey Coleman.
Didn't you give up Landon Collins?
They lost him.
Yeah, lost him. Lost Landon Collins.
But this ain't about them.
To your divisional rival, huh? He went to Washington.
Yes.
He went to Washington. Okay. Damn.
Exactly. You lose all that. And then you trade Odell. Like, I like Jabril Peppers, but he ain't going to fix nothing at all. Shit.
So it's June 23rd, right? Obviously, we still got a couple more weeks, couple more months till football season. What's your bold prediction on where the Browns will end up? Like, as far as record and how far they'll go in the postseason?
This year, this is a very bold prediction.
Oh, shit.
But I see them going 11-5.
Okay.
Playoffs, if they get past the wild card, I see them losing to either Kansas City or New England. Just because of the playoff experience factor. But we could get shocked. That's all I'm going to say.
That's the thing I kind of, you know how like in the NBA, people always say, oh, the Western Conference is so much better, which obviously it is. I feel like in the NFL, you can say the same thing. Because in the AFC, it's going to be Kansas City, New England, maybe a Pittsburgh. Then the NFC, you never know.
See, with the AFC, you know that you're game planning for the Patriots every year, no matter what. That's why I don't get how nobody can come out of there. But you got Bill Belichick. With this team, the talent they got, and Kareem coming back in 8 games with him and Nick Chubb, that's probably the best backfield they can have in the NFL right now.
I feel like their first 6 weeks are the most important.
That's
the most important. However, they start off them first 6 weeks, that'll probably dictate the rest of their success on the season.
Then on top of that, everybody, I don't know why people didn't believe in Nick Chubb coming in.
But I blame his face mask.
Let's not talk about
that. I'm not believing in no nigga with that face mask.
With the little teeth in the front and shit.
Yeah, I don't, what?
Hey, look, he was a dog in the SEC, though.
He was.
So what you mean you can't believe it, man?
I mean, Trent Richardson was a dog in the SEC.
Trent Richardson couldn't read the holes. And I'm surprised he got a child. But, shit, the surprise for me that would be in this on this team would be David Njoku, the tight end. Mm-hmm. Just because, like you said, with Odell and Jarvis, that's going to open up a whole bunch of one-on-one situations with him against linebackers, safety, smaller corners. You might see him make an all-pro team this year just because your only competition is Travis Kelce right now with Gronk gone.
Damn, Gronk did retire.
Exactly, though.
But was Gronk even putting up them type of numbers the last couple of years? He was always hurt anyway. Yeah.
But Gronk is the best tight end to ever play, in my opinion. You got to think.
He was just in the perfect system.
Gronk, come on, 6'7", 256.
I mean, I know that, but like, if he was on like another team, do you feel like he would have had that success, though?
Yeah.
You think so?
I do. Damn. Like, the Patriots, for example, Julian Edelman is a watered-down Westbrook. I feel like if he went to another team.
Did you say watered up?
Watered down.
With the damn steroids.
if he goes to another team, I don't see him doing the same thing. But.
So does that show how great Tom Brady is? Or just New England as an organization?
I think New England as an organization. Because Tom Brady, as good as he really is, like, you only throwing across the middle. I know a lot of quarterbacks that can do that. They call Dak check down Charlie. But when he do
So I don't like watching Dallas. It's not exciting. I don't never see no shots down the field.
Sir,
it's always...
sir. We ain't calm that down.
I just had to let that out.
I just had to let this out. 13-10.
Okay, that's cool.
9/29.
That's cool. It's a new season.
9/29. September 29th. We gonna come to New Orleans. Okay.
Hell, and go back home with a Jordan face. With a crying Jordan face.
He went Hall of Fame crying.
Y'all not going Hall of Fame crying.
Back to the Browns, like I said. So if we take a look at their schedule last year, Pittsburgh, they tied. New Orleans, they lost 21-18. New York, they got their first win in damn near 2 years against the Jets. They were supposed to win against Oakland, but miracles do happen.
Didn't say what else you want to say. Who else they were supposed to win again?
Oh, yeah. Baltimore, they lost. The Chargers, they took a heavy L, 38-14. Tampa Bay with a loss. Pittsburgh with a loss. Kansas City, they played a close game against them, 37-31. Beat Atlanta. Beat Cincy twice. Won against Denver. Lost again against Baltimore. And lost against Houston. With all of them teams on their schedule last year, Kansas City, that game showed me a lot just because having the defense that y'all did and going toe-to-toe with the MVP with a rookie, like that gave me the confidence to make the predictions that I made. Because, like you said, Baker Mayfield, he actually is that dude that everybody was hyping up. If you keep Duke Johnson, that's another weapon you have.
That's the guy from Miami, right?
Okay. And Antonio Callaway, him and Odell are your deep threats if you wanted to be like that. So, I mean, like I said, I think Baker can get about 45 this year. On paper, they look good, like I said. He got receivers that catch the ball.
Paper, Madden, and real life.
On paper, like I said, they look real good, and on this paper, I think they'll actually show me something.
Well, my prediction, I'm not too far away from what yours was. You said an 11-win season. I'll go with 9. I'll give them 10.
That's respectable.
In the AFC, I'll give them 10.
Man. So, with that being said, we gave y'all a little preview of what we think the Browns are going to be this season. Hopefully, like I said, they show us what they really about, because
he had to throw hopefully in there.
Because you never know. This is the NFL. These are pros. But, like I said, on paper, they nice. Very nice. I'll take this team over a lot of teams in the NFL right now that didn't make the playoffs. But that is our NFL section. We'll be coming back to you with the NBA. Like I said, we're going to check out the draft picks, talk about some trades, and give our take on the free agency rumors.
All right. Big.
This is the offseason. I am Kuda Main.
And I'm KJ Deezy.
And we'll be back with you for the next section. Listen to Jay, though.
If you want it, you got it. You know how I'm rocking. They never could stop it. It's stuffed in my pie. Go up for the score and they never could block it. After the show, I count up in the miser. Tears fall from the lies despite 100 bands through the time of the night. When you left, I ain't want to live life. Now I'm happy on the in and out side.
Can you make it better?
Welcome back to the off season. This is Kool Main and KJ Deezy.
Yes, sir.
So, the NBA, it's been a little bit exciting first couple months after the finals, well, first couple weeks after the finals have ended. So we decided that we're going to give you our take on draft picks we think are actually going to make some noise next year. And trades that didn't happen so far, and what we think might happen in free agency. So I'm gonna turn it to my boy KJ to give his takes on the rookies that he think gonna do good this year.
Okay, the 2019 draft just recently passed, And some rookies that I think will make an immediate impact are, of course, Big Zion Williamson. He averaged 22.6 in college, 8.9 rebounds, 2.1 assists. A lot of people think that his weight might be an issue or he's overhyped, but I don't see the overhype. I feel like he'll be successful in the New Orleans system, especially with like his young core that he has. Also, can't sleep on Cam Reddish. Cam Reddish with the Atlanta Hawks. They already have Trae Young, so now adding Cam Reddish along with their young team. I feel like he'll have an opportunity to make a lot of noise in Atlanta.
Maybe a playoff team.
What?
In the East?
You right, because hell, Detroit, Indiana, and the one supposed to make
last year. No, Indiana, a whole nother monster.
With a healthy Oladipo.
Yeah,
with
like,
okay.
Not even with a healthy Oladipo, because you got to remember they took Boston to the limit. Six games?
They did.
So, but there's neither here nor there, but the East is weak and a little bit.
I'm about to mess people's head up right quick. One of my draft sleepers is from, I don't know if he's from Louisiana, but he played basketball in Louisiana. The Boston Celtics drafted Tremont Waters from LSU. And I feel like if he can make the squad, he might not start off, you know, like at the top of the depth chart or whatever. But if he can get some legitimate playtime eventually, I feel like he'll blossom like a flower in the league.
I feel like with him, he's going to go through the D League first. And if he shows out up there, they going to call him up. Cause
I look at him like a Vlant, what's his name? Vlant Fleet. Vlant Fleet story. Because he can shoot that thing, he's just small.
That's it. As long as he can play defense, though, that's gonna help him get on
the court. And he's the only one off LSU team that actually got drafted. That's a damn shame.
Exactly.
Them boys should have stayed.
Boy, but you know what happened.
Yeah.
So they probably been had sanctions.
I blame the AD for that, though. So.
I blame Wade. You got a whole prospect in your home state.
Mm-hmm.
You talking on the phone. What, y'all can't meet up nowhere at all?
You know people are stupid.
Exactly.
I don't blame the kids, though.
I never blame the kids. Because the kids, they already in a position where some of them are broke. They going to take that money if you offer it.
Yeah, so, I'll take an iPad. You offer me an iPad.
Exactly. It's just the people that they shun that get mad and start telling on folks.
And back to the NBA draft. I feel like RJ Barrett is kind of overrated. And him going to New York, it gives him, you know, some shines, you know, some space, you know, do his thing and probably take that role as a star in this league. But I feel like I like Dennis Smith actually more than RJ Barrett.
Dennis Smith, I feel like he needs to go to another team.
Another team?
I don't like him in New York just because how the organization is ran right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's like, to me, if he had like people around him, he could be a legitimate role player. He's not like the face of the franchise.
He's not. But if he get a jump shot, I feel, well, 3-point, he could actually turn himself dangerous.
Because
the old Dennis Smith Jr. that I saw coming out of high school, that was a problem. Like, Derrick Rose type problem.
Yeah. But we all know Duncan can only, like, athleticism can only get you so far in basketball.
That's true.
Even Blake Griffin found that out the hard way. And now he wetting them bitches from three, so.
Man, Blake.
That's how I feel about Westbrook. Westbrook got to evolve his game because you can't be athletic forever.
And John Wall.
Damn. But he said that for a couple of people.
Shit. With me, as far as my draft picks go, I'm saying Bobo, who got picked 44th overall, who was a top 10 talent.
You think he's a top 10 talent?
Yeah. 21 points, 9 rebounds, 1 steal a game, 3 blocks per game, shooting at a 56% clip from the field, 52% from 3.
But see, that's... I'm going to let you finish.
Now, his best game was against Syracuse, where he had 26, 9, 3 steals, 4 blocks. And that's an ACC team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Oregon ain't no slouch. They do have Pritchard on the team. He went back, though. But Bo, if he would have stayed, I think he would have went top 10. You just don't find 7'3 dudes with guard handling and shooting ability. Like, he's paired with his clone, itself his clone named defensive-minded, with Jokic. You can play them on the floor at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And just think about that. You got 2 3-point shooting bigs around Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, I don't care who your three is, because shit, it don't matter. You got nothing but shooters out there.
True.
So I think he'll...
I feel like he a liability, though. It go by... You think that he can stay healthy if he put on some weight?
I really do.
I think he's too skinny right now.
I think he'll be another Kristaps. Like, he gonna play his role. I think he is gonna be a four in the league just because of the weight. But if he does put on some, he gonna be trouble.
Who you got after that?
After that is Coby White out of UNC. He got drafted to the Chicago Bulls, my former team. Fuck him. Well, fuck Garpex. Fuck Garpex with a passion. But my dog did show out with 16 points per game, 4 assists per game, 3 rebounds and a steal, shooting 42% from the field, 35 from 3. Really, I thought he was a two-year player at first until he actually started to progress through the season. Seeing him work through the tournament, how he did. He ain't scared to shoot that bitch. He ain't scared to get to the rim, and he's an all right defender right now. With a 6'5 combo guard pairing him up with Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter. Hopefully, Otto Porter tries to become what he was supposed to be in Washington. Because even though I hate the front office, I feel like the Bulls do have a good young core that, I don't know, maybe a year or two from now, they might actually be in title contention. Just with the maturity.
Title contention.
I just feel like with Lauri Markkanen.
Title contention.
Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter, Daniel Gafford, the second round pick they got. That's a good 3 big man rotation that you will have. If you keep Chris Dunn as your backup point guard, he can run the second team. Yes, I may hate the front office, but the squad, Zach LaVine.
So Kawhi and Toronto, they're just going to disappear. Milwaukee going to disappear.
I say they're a title contender, but I still have Toronto.
Them the contenders to me, especially in East Con.
I mean.
Even Philly might make some noise if they can figure it out.
Philly ain't making no noise because you about to lose Tobias and Jimmy. So you about to be back at square one with a motherfucker who don't want to shoot and ain't me. I don't even count them no more right now. Shit. And with my third draft pick, it's the one that people been questioning me about, asking how I can put him up there and all that. It's Kevin Porter Jr. This man is James Harden 2.0. He has handles.
That's a lie.
He has the handle. He has the driving ability. He has the shooting ability. And he will poke that bitch on you. Combine that with 47% from the field and 41% from the 3-point, you can't argue with it. Now, at USC, he did have problems. I don't know. Me personally, I think it was more the coach because he was the best player on that team. I think that's why he slipped in this draft, because he's easily a top 10 talent in my opinion. But you know, when players do have that little trouble behind them.
Oh, you got that cloud over
his head. Yeah, that bullshit.
These dudes be little kids, man. I mean,
come on. Exactly. What you expect an 18-year-old to do in college, especially when you're moving away from home for a long period of time.
You in Southern Cal?
And then you got bad bitches everywhere. Shit.
In Hollywood?
But like I said, with him, Darius Garland, and Colin Sexton, I think that would be a nice little...
I like
3-piece. Like, a lot of people were down on him last year, but they still forget he was a rookie. He just coming into the league, learning to play with grown ass
situation.
Is at Cleveland.
Man. He held his weight.
Shit, 18 points ain't bad for a rookie. But I think with Kevin, Darius, and Colin, you got a good mix of youth with Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. Playoffs, I don't see that happening for another 3 years just because of who Cleveland is without LeBron James.
People forget that's an organization whenever LeBron leaves, but shit.
Like,
don't even come on TV. They don't show the highlights on SportsCenter.
They don't even care about them no more. They the redhead stepchild without LeBron.
Yeah.
But like I said, out. He got picked outside of the top 10, and that boy is a steal. That's just me.
Okay.
So, that's our draft. Now,
is it free agency time?
We got another, 7-8 days before that, June 31st, 5 or 6 p.m. I can't wait to that shit. But we have trades that we want to talk about.
Okay.
We're going to start with the lower trade with the Memphis Grizzlies and Utah Jazz. In that trade, Utah received Mike Conley. Memphis received the number 23 pick, turned that into Brandon Clark, Jay Crowder, Grayson Allen, Kyle Korver, and another future first rounder. I think both of them won the trade just because you got pieces for Ja to grow with Grayson Allen, Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson.
You like Grayson Allen?
He a good shooter. Mm. That I'll give him that. And he one of those sneaky athletic players.
Yeah.
So I think he can do more for him than Kyle Korver will. But at the same time, you got to look at Mike Conley going into a situation
I'm glad he's leaving Memphis. I'm so glad he finally got out of Memphis.
I thought he was going to Toronto.
Dude, the underrated point guard in this league.
Exactly.
Been for a long time. Remind me of Andre Miller or some shit.
Nah, he better than Andre. Andre was a good role player. But Mike Conley going up there with Spider. I feel they can do better without Rudy Gobert because all he do is fucking block shots and rebound. He can find anybody to do that. Like, for real.
Any nigga 6'10", over 6'10", that's supposed to be their job anyway.
Exactly.
Protect that rim, little nigga.
And then you crying because you can't fucking make an all-star team.
Really?
You lost all respect from me. Yes. So, what you feel about this trade?
I have to agree with you. I feel like it's a win in both situations. But like I said, I like Michael Conley getting out of Memphis. I feel like he can show his skills as a point guard because he gets overlooked by the Lillards, the Currys, the Westbrooks.
And then people forget he's still in the West too.
Exactly.
So, and when people like Kyle Lowry, not taking anything from Kyle, but he is a better point guard than Kyle Lowry. I don't care what nobody says.
Oh, of course.
If he was in the East, easily. I'd say third best point guard behind Kyrie and John Wall. And it's a close second behind Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he plays defense. I have a special respect for players who still will play both sides of the ball in the NBA because it is a two-way game. And people like Kawhi, Giannis, Paul George, they don't get enough credit for what they do on the offensive and defensive side because you got people like James Harden scoring 30 points for 30 straight games. You get mesmerized by that offense, but still forget. Even when he tries, he's not even close to being a good defender.
Yeah.
Unless he's guarding bigs. Now, when he guarding bigs, I don't know what happens. He turned into Draymond, Dennis Rodman. I guess he liked the fact that he can match up with him because he's so stocky and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't do nothing. But I feel like Mike, he can put the Utah Jazz over the top.
Yeah, and I feel like it's a breath of fresh air.
That's all.
I mean, once Gasol left, kind of felt like, okay. Now it's a new beginning, new opportunity for him to do his thing.
Exactly, and then, like we said, it's good for everybody. Ja gets the grows with the new teammates that he have. Mike Conley gives Utah the help that they desperately needed at point guard.
Mm-hmm.
So, like we said, win-win in this situation. So, with the other trade, we feel differently about it. I feel like in the AD trade, New Orleans kind of finessed the fuck out of Los Angeles. Because when you include a number 4 pick in that trade, why are you giving up 2 more first rounders when you're giving up Lonzo, Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart? That is your future. You mortgage your entire future for Anthony Davis.
The only argument that one can have in this situation is, are any of those players or draft picks better than or will be better than Anthony Davis in their career?
See, I understand.
And how he impacts the game as a big man, being able to handle the ball, shoot the J, a healthy Anthony Davis.
And that's the problem. When has he ever been healthy a full season?
I feel like
his injuries in the past, you know, he had injuries, but I feel like it was more so, okay, whether I come back or not, we probably going to lose anyway. Probably going to be fighting for the eighth seed anyway, so it doesn't matter if I play. Like, I might as well get help.
It's true.
I look at it like a Kawhi situation. If I ain't feeling good, I'm gonna sit the fuck out.
That's true.
I'm about to bust my ass. But it's not even to make the playoffs.
Yeah, but that's different, though. Kawhi and them still made the playoffs.
Yeah, you heard.
And Anthony Davis. But I want to give a special shout-out to Alvin Gentry, though. With that's Hall folks joke. Pretty petty, but I like the creativity. Because you did get a massive haul with Los Angeles. I feel like you can't go after a third max player, because if you do, you have no money for role players. You're going to have to get Jarebko's, fucking, who else? Who's just a sorry role player that just making money? Like the Brian Scalabrini's of the world.
Yeah, Roberson's still in the league. He ain't played in almost 2 years.
Yeah, but Roberson can play defense.
He could. I don't know if he can now.
Well, yeah, you're right.
He missed a whole damn year and a half. Like, come on, man.
Well, since he don't do much, ACL might not be as hard for him to come back from, since he's just a defensive player. But hopefully in that time, he has developed some type of shot.
But that's the thing. We're in a day and age where you can't just be like, okay, I'm a defensive player. I'm this, I'm that. You got to be able to do it all. You got to be a hybrid. You got to be able to hit the open jump shot. And most importantly, you getting paid millions of dollars, you got to be able to hit your motherfucking free throw.
Let's not even go
which he
that.
Can't do. So that's why I threw him in there.
I feel like with Oklahoma, they got a lot of stuff they need to work on. But Steven Adams, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, you keep them.
You saw they opened the trade in Steven Adams?
I saw that, but I wouldn't do it. Cause
him and Dennis?
Nah. Now, Dennis I would trade, just to see what I could get for him.
I like them, though. I like them on Oklahoma City.
I did, too, but shit. You got to get some role players.
They need shooters. Shoot. If you surround Westbrook with shooters, it's a whole different ball game.
Boy,
because you take the ball out of his hand, he ain't got to shoot the ball fucking 40 times a game.
And people always complain about him shooting all the time. Exactly. You only got Paul George. Terrence Ferguson looked like he about to be a bust.
I like how he came around though towards the end. He surprised me last season. He did.
Shit, hopefully. But back
Jeremy Grant, he had big improvement.
With him, I just want to see him improve on the offense end.
Yeah.
Like, if he can develop at least a post game and a consistent catch and shoot three, he'll be a problem. But I don't know. I think Donovan, Billy Donovan, he needs to go.
Like, it's like they hired Scott Brooks all over again. That's how I feel. It's 2-on-5 ISO basketball. Give it to Westbrook, give it to Paul. Get the fuck out the way. Or maybe we can run a screen and roll, throw it up to Adams. That's the offense.
And that's not hard to defend because they do it in Houston.
Yeah, so. Speaking of Houston, how you feel about Chris Paul wanting to get out of there? You feel like Chris Paul is the problem or has been the problem his whole career?
I don't think Chris Paul has been the problem his whole career, just because, one, in Los Angeles, he had no choice but to handle the ball. He didn't have nobody besides Jamal Crawford. And Blake Griffin wasn't this Blake Griffin for real until when Chris Paul left. New Orleans, I mean, he had no choice. He was the dude.
Yeah.
He, I guess, playing with somebody that's, well, he surpassed him. But he still got the respect because he is Chris Paul. Once you're playing that second fiddle role, I think it's different. Because you ain't getting the calls that you normally get. You ain't getting touches. And if you are getting touches, it's to set somebody else up. Yeah. Which is part of his game. But I think Chris Paul likes that. Sometimes getting that ISO pick and roll switch. Get on the big man. Get that easy mid-range.
That's why I don't see why people try to throw in that room. Oh, it's hard to play with Westbrook. Or it's hard to play with LeBron. I think it's hard to play with James Harden.
It is, because he controlled the ball damn near the whole game.
I'm not trying to suit up night in and night out and just be told to stand on the side, and this nigga runs ISO every two plays and just throwing up a three or go get. I mean, it scores points for him as far as like a personal attribute, but it doesn't result in W's whenever they need, especially in the playoffs. So, I mean, Like how people take away from the triple double now, which I kind of see, like, as far as Westbrook. But they win whenever he gets them, though. That's why I don't see the hatred.
Because when you make something look as easy as a triple double, people gonna hate. They talk about he running the shot clock down to get easy assists. I mean, that's what you gonna do if you Westbrook, because you know if you taking the basket, somebody's coming to double team you. Because just playing the clock itself, you know he ain't gonna kick it out. He ain't got the teammate to do that. But you still forget Adams. Once you come off of him, he'll walk in double-double, in my opinion. He can kick it out to Dennis Schroeder because he's an excellent open three-point shooter. Paul George, like...
Other than that, who? That's nobody. The thing, exactly.
But the thing is, Westbrook, that's his best way of getting his assists because he gets teammates wide the fuck open, and people don't realize that. And then on top of the rebounds... If Steven Adams is unselfish enough to box out these bigs so I can get rebounds so we can push the... Like, you can't get mad at that. That's part of the game plan. Get the ball in Paul or Westbrook's hand and let them go to work. Like, if what you really telling me y'all going to let Dennis Schroeder take the last shot?
Maybe in Atlanta a few years ago.
Shit, I still wouldn't let him take the last shot. I mean, I like him, but shit.
So since we're talking about trades, they got a couple of noticeable free agents, like big-name free agents. So out of those players, where can you see them signing? As far as the Butlers, the Irvins, the Kawhis.
Kyrie. Well, Kawhi, let's get this straight. He's staying in Toronto. If he leaves,
If he's smart.
Being the face of a country is better than being the face of a franchise. Because a face of a country makes more money than the face of a franchise, whether you like it or not. He got Canada behind him. They willing to match whatever the Toronto Raptors are going to give him. He can become half a billionaire just by signing with the Raptors and then getting money from somebody else. They offering up a penthouse. Free food for life. He'd be a fool to give that up. You got a championship now. They can't tell you nothing.
And since we're talking about Kawhi, okay, we saw like the success with him going to the East, winning the championship, taking the Raptors to the next level. If you're DeMar DeRozan, you're sitting at home watching the NBA playoffs in the finals, how do you feel? Are you hurt personally, or is it just business at the end of the day?
I would say it's more business because at the end of the day, the team that DeMar and Kyle had didn't win a championship. All you had there was Van Fleet, Norman Powell, and Ibaka. Because those were the people who were playing. You brought in Gasol. You brought in Danny Green. I mean, that's really all that happened.
Because I saw fans on Twitter making jokes about...
Talking about he depressed. Yeah. He's somewhere... And then the thing about it, DeMar knew what happened. Like he said, he was the sacrificial lamb. He knew that. He knew Kawhi was a better player than him because that's the reason he said that. And it's not out of his character to defer to somebody that's better than him. Saying if we had LeBron, we probably would.
Just imagine if they would have got rid of Kyle Lowry, kept DeMar.
I would have did that.
But I feel like San Antonio ain't give a fuck about him, Kyle Lowry.
Well, DeJounte Murray on the team too, so shit. Yeah. But Kyle Lowry, as good as he played in the finals, I'd be looking to trade him.
He did do his thing.
He did, but...
Van Fleet was my X factor. That nigga came out of nowhere.
I can live and die with Van Fleet being my starter, knowing that Kawhi is on the court, and trading Kyle Lowry to open up a max spot for somebody like a Jimmy Butler to play alongside Kawhi. Like, people don't think about stuff like that.
You can see him going to team.
I can see him if they open up a max spot for him. Because, like I said, Jimmy Butler is one of them underrated players to me because...
I don't care for Jimmy Butler no more. I don't know. I don't know if it's because... Like, I'm just like y'all used to be a Bulls fan back in the day. Him, D. Rose, Carlos Boos, Joakim Noah, guys. But I don't know if it's... After he went to Minnesota and I saw that situation was with Carl Anthony and I just seen... I don't know. I just feel different about Jimmy Butler now. Like, he not really an all-star to me no more. Even though he on that post over there that say superstar, that's old. I feel like he not up there no more. He not in the top tier as far as all-stars and superstars in the league. That's how I feel about Jimmy Butler.
Top 10? I probably agree. He probably not top 10. Well, Give me your top 10.
Top 10? No order?
No order, just...
Okay. LeBron. The Greek Freak, obviously. Steph. KD. Throw in Harden, of course. Throw in Harden. What that's it?
That's five.
That's five right there. Shit. I'm going to throw in Embiid, too. I'm throwing Embiid. Because whenever he healthy, can't nobody start Embiid. Kawhi. Got to throw in Kawhi.
The best player.
Yes. Oh, you think he's the best in the world right now? Okay, throw in Kawhi. Who else can you argue with? Shit.
Paul.
George. When he healthy, okay. See, I'm still kind of salty about the playoffs versus Portland, so I wasn't going to say Paul. Even though they said that his shoulder was fucked up.
He was injured at the end of the season. He can't do nothing about that.
So, okay, so Paul George. And I'm biased, so I got to go with my favorite player, which is Westbrook.
That's not a bias. That's a fact. So
people hate that man for some reason.
Because Westbrook is a natural villain. That's what they hate.
And then the thing I love about Westbrook, he not with all that buddy-buddy shit. Like, it's, at the end of the day, we getting paid, but we're not friends. We're here to compete and try to win games, win championships.
Let's talk after the game.
Yeah, that's what's wrong with the NBA. Now everybody want to be friends. Niggas want to hang out in the offseason, go swimming with each other, kids and families. Nah, nigga, back in the 80s, them niggas really hated each other back in the day.
Shit. Just ask Mike. The Bad Boys. The Pistons.
You wouldn't catch Larry Bird hanging out with Magic Johnson over the summer?
No, you would. They were just friends.
They would?
Yeah.
I thought it was just like for them commercials and shit.
Nah, they were actually cool.
Damn. I take that back then.
Nah, you ain't got to take it back because some of the motherfuckers still hate each other till this day.
Because him and Isaiah Thomas just got cool like 2 years ago. Huh?
Shit. They crying Isaiah shit. Thomas still hate Michael Jordan.
I don't like that nigga either. I don't even know that nigga.
Shit, Mike, my dog.
So, finish with your top 10.
My top 10: Kawhi, LeBron, Giannis. Put Paul in there, James in there, Russ in there, Steph in there, Embiid when healthy.
Shit, it get hard after that.
I'm going to put Jimmy in there just because of the fact. Look at the Bulls and look at Minnesota without him. Because you got to think, those were playoff teams with him.
Damn, you right.
After that, and people talk about that with LeBron all the time when he leaves.
Tom ain't the right coach, though. In general.
Tom, he has to put less.
To college,
nah, because them kids don't hate him. He plays his pro players too much. What you think he going to do to fucking college kids? They gonna be slaves for real.
And they's gonna hit their primes early.
Shit. Tom is an excellent defensive coach. I just feel like he needs an offensive coordinator. Like, if he was a head coach and D'Antoni was his offense, like one of his offensive assistants, I think that would be a championship combo. Right there. All right, so Jimmy and who else?
Would you throw Clay in there?
Nah. Klay can't create his own shot.
Because people be going crazy every time Klay get his little three-pointers and shit.
I mean, Klay, he a top 20 player. Yeah. I'll give him that. But he ain't top 10.
Especially two-way. Like, he be...
That's why I give him top... He is a all-star 3-and-D player.
Yeah.
So, I put him in my top...
That's the thing I take away from Curry. Curry, a lot of times, he give Klay that matchup. Curry don't want to play them niggas on defense.
Shit, you ain't got to.
Yeah,
unanimous MVP. I'm not. He knows he's not the best defender, but he gives effort. That's why
he does.
I ain't gonna take nothing away from Curry. And then so many people, in my opinion, hate on him because he is the only true threat to LeBron.
So let me ask you this: people was comparing this finals to the last. Two or three finals, right? Because as far as, you know, with Durant going down and Klay going down, they feel like, oh, it was just Steph was by himself. Fuck y'all thought LeBron felt the last couple years?
That's why I said, if you didn't complain back then when LeBron lost Kyrie and Kevin, you can't complain now that Steph lost. Matter of fact, Steph didn't lose Klay until the end of the game. He lost him for one game. You still had Draymond. You still had the finals MVP and Iggy. Like, just because Kevin Durant didn't play,
and
they had no excuse.
If you damn it, arguably the best shooter ever, you supposed to hold your own weight. They act like LeGarde.
And he did,
the
though.
I mean, LeBron, so put him on the same pedestal, give him the same criticism that y'all give the guy from Cleveland.
But they do give Steph that criticism. They, when you look at something from an analyst, they always saying something about Steph, something about his game they don't like. But you got to remember, Steph was the ISO player before KD came. And when KD came, that's when he could become Clay in a sense. Because you running off screens all the time. You ain't got the ball in your hand. Then when you get that bitch, it's easy to get a shot up. So
that's why people don't like. That's why I don't get people. Cause last June, whenever they beat Cleveland, niggas were saying, "Oh, KD the best. He even passed up LeBron." Nigga, Durant has the easiest job in the league. Nigga, that fucking floor is so spaced out. Like, and to be as tall as he is, to be able to create his own shot—that's his fucking dream.
But there's one thing I want to say.
Sweating.
I'll say this. When he hit that game shot against LeBron,
oh, man.
Hey, no, you gotta give him credit for that. To pull a game in front of LeBron coming down court, it wasn't even a set-up play. He just came down and shot that bitch.
Where was all that in 2016 whenever they was up by three?
You talking about when
whenever he was on OKC.
And they lost to the Warriors?
I feel like he blew that series on purpose.
I mean, him and Russell gotta take their fair share. Russ, because he wasn't that composed in that series, because that's what I think the biggest thing with LeBron and D-Wade when they had their big three. D-Wade deferred to LeBron. With KD and Westbrook, they didn't know who wanted to defer, so somebody just took control. And
but see, I feel like in situations like that, if they already comparing you to LeBron, you know, the top tier players in the league, you should already know by default, okay, I'm the alpha male here. You gotta drop your nuts. Kobe wasn't running around saying, "Damn, I hope Fisher give me the ball tonight." I hope Fisher don't.
How you gonna compare Fisher to Westbrook?
I just said it.
Hell, everybody on that team was deferring to Kobe when Shaq.
You're right. But Durant gotta have that authority. Like, okay, this is my team. I'm about to drop my nuts. I'm gonna shoot that bitch. Give me the fucking ball. You can't even give Westbrook the option to go run around with like a chicken with his head cut off.
I'm gonna ask you this. What you think was more impressive, KD MVP or Russ MVP?
I gotta go with Russ MVP.
Exactly. Like KD, yeah. Like I said, they both.
The fact that he even took that team to the playoffs, fuck the triple doubles, the fact that he took the 2016 and 2017 Thunder to the playoffs.
At the 5 seed at that.
Yeah.
In the West.
Yes.
Like.
And they could have beat Houston if they had one more scored. So.
And then, I ain't gonna bring up the Melo debacle.
I feel bad for my dog, Melo, man.
I didn't feel bad because this nigga thought he was still that dude.
But I just do because it's like he ain't even got a proper retirement. It's just like, bitch, you ain't good enough no more.
He gonna go to some team.
He gonna sign back with Denver and just on a little few-day contract and just.
Nah, if he signed back with Denver, I think
I'm retired with Denver.
If he signed back with Denver.
He don't play.
Shit, he can play. He can play. As a bench player, he can play. Yeah. But I don't think the Denver fans would like that if they still true to that man like they were back. Well, they ain't got. Well, yeah, they ain't.
You know, over years, that shit kind of go away. If they could go back to Philly and they honor him and shit, I feel like Denver could honor him in a few years.
Well, AI was kind of different because you got to remember they traded him for whatever reason. And Denver didn't sign him back.
Man,
fuck Larry Brown. Even though he is a championship winning coach, that nigga still.
So can we say that the Lakers was a super team in 2001?
I really can't say it because they only had Kobe and Shaq.
I don't know. I feel like niggas like Fox, Eddie Jones, all them boys get overlooked.
I feel like they were excellent role players in that era, especially Eddie Jones, because him and Bruce Bowen were what I saw as a 3-and-D coming up. So that's how I judge everybody.
Yeah.
So you still had Big Shot Rob, but you already know how he is. He good for that last shot. Who else?
Oh, look, yeah, shit.
Yeah, he got 7 rings off that look. Shit. If there was any super teams that I could say from back in the day for real, you would either have to go with Boston or Los Angeles, because you got to think, with Los Angeles, you have 6 Hall of Famers from your starting lineup to your 6 man. With Boston is pretty much the same thing. You had a y'all team with a six pack. Like, that means you had a heavy six man rotation that could get the job done night in and night out.
Facts.
So, I don't think there was really a super team in the era besides Barkley, Hakeem, and Pippen in Houston, aging out, if you want to call that a super team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's the closest thing I could think. But Clyde, I'd say more so Hakeem and Clyde when they won in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been considered one.
But I like his little statue outside their stadium. I mean, the arena, too.
Ain't better than one of MJ, so I'm going to kill him.
You been to Chicago before?
I've been to Chicago. I haven't been to the United City.
Mm.
Shit. But, yeah. What about D-Lo? Where you think he might go?
I seen a picture of him on Twitter earlier. They put the Lakers jersey back on him. But I wouldn't go back to that.
I'm not going back to
that. If I'm him, I'm not even going back to the West.
I'm staying in the East. Yeah. I found out what it is. You can get in the playoffs.
I'm trying to stay in Brooklyn.
But they want Kyrie, though. And they stay. At first, it was they wanted both of them to play together.
Oh, they don't want both of them, though? Mm-hmm. Ah, shit. Man, I'll take my ass to try to see if I can go to Milwaukee.
Shit, you ain't got no cap on. They just signed a fucking Bledsoe.
Fuck, I don't know what the fuck.
They talking about
that's what they fucked up at. Bledsoe, he a good role player, but Bledsoe ain't worth all that fucking money. What was Bledsoe in the fucking playoffs? Especially in the round versus Toronto. Where the fuck was Bledsoe at?
Shit.
Hell, what was the Greek freak? He was playing like Ben Simmons. He was scared to shoot that bitch.
Man, they played good defense against that man. They know you
still. He got exposed. But he only going to get better, though. So.
I just feel like once he get his three-point shot, that's when he going to be the problem that everybody say he is. Because at first, those first two rounds, we thought, shit, he may be the best right now.
He's about to carry them all the way.
Then he got to Toronto.
Got exposed.
And if y'all go to Uncut Sports, I think it's episode 4 or 5, you will hear me make that prediction about Toronto in 6 or 7. I'm just saying, throwing that plug in now. But, like I was saying, I foresee him going to Indiana. Him and Victor.
So D-Lo and Victor.
That would be a nice little combo.
It is a nice combo.
Then you got Miles Turner, Domantas Sabonis, little dude that they just drafted, Gogo Bitaz.
Hey, is he on your most approved list, Miles Turner?
He is, but D-Lo or Pascal winning that bitch to me. I'm going to say D-Lo just because he was a catalyst for his team.
Mm-hmm.
Pascal, he comes a close second, but you already had somebody, though.
D-Lo, I feel like his 2018-2019 season was so good, niggas forgot that he was a snitch. Like, oh, that shit went out the window.
Like, son, we haven't heard that since, what? Since he got traded.
Yeah, that shit went out the window.
Shit.
Niggas don't, he not a locker room distraction no more. He not childish no more. But nigga is a legit baller.
But they still forget. D-Lo made that mistake when he was like 18, 19 years old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I don't really think he meant to do that. It's just posting shit on it. Being not, a kid posting shit. That's
yeah, all not realizing the platform that you hold.
Exactly.
How many people follow you.
Like, I think that's why he don't really go out of his way to do the shit he used to do. So he did mature.
Besides getting caught with weed and
I don't even know how the fuck you thought that was okay in New York. Knowing that security might be asshole tight up there. Like, and then in an Arizona can. Nigga, you can't bring liquids on that bitch. Your talent only can get you so far in real life.
Still, nigga.
Yeah, shit. That was his mistake. So, anything else you got?
Hold on. Before we wrap it up, I'm going to ask you one more question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's 2020. It's April. Playoff time from the start. Where your seeds at? Give me your eight seeds for the Western Conference. Based on what we know as far as the draft and the current offseason options, not to say like who gonna sign where come July, but as far as today,
all right,
give me a seed, give me your eight playoff team.
And we going just the Western Conference or both conferences?
We gonna do East next.
All right, with mine
is off the top of your head. What do you got?
If we start at 8 for the West, I'm going to give it to the hometown. New Orleans at the AC, barely making it in. With the 7th, I'm going to give it to the Kings because I think they actually going to make some real noise this year. Just with the improvement of De'Aaron Fox, Bogdanovich, whatever his name is. If they sign Harrison Barnes back, you got a legit two-way player in him. Mm-hmm. My 6th seed, I'm going to give it to Portland just because my 5th seed is going to be the Mavericks. Because people don't understand how good Luka and Kristaps are going to be together.
Yeah.
You got Tim Hardaway. Dwight Powell is a rebounding defensive player. And Trey Burke, people tend to forget he can get buckets. Exactly. So I'm going to give them the 5th seed. My 4th seed will go to... I'm going to give it to the Lakers. Even though... I feel like that's pretty high for them. But with the Nuggets, Trailblazers, and Spurs all freed up from the Warriors. Mm. Matter of fact, never mind. We're going to take that off. We're going to take the Pelicans out. Move Kings to the 7th seed. Who did I say after them? Pretty much, I'm putting the Warriors in the 5th spot. I forgot all about them. I'm going to give them a chance.
Yeah, they're still going to make the playoffs.
I forgot. But in my opinion, I want them to tank for LaMelo Ball. That's just me. Think of LaMelo Ball with them.
They're not going to tank, though. But
I know
crazy.
That.
But, yeah,
that
would be crazy.
So, 5th seed goes to the Warriors. 4th seed goes to the Lakers. You got the Trailblazers coming in 3rd just because the Warriors ain't who they are. The Thunder, Spurs, and Denver all come into play. That's my 8. What about you?
Okay, I'm gonna start from the top.
That's my number one seed as of right now.
It might be Denver, and I might throw in Houston depending on.
Damn, I forgot about Houston.
Yeah, depending on Chris Paul and James Harden if they can figure some shit out. So I got Denver 1, Houston 2, 3, and at 3, I'm going to throw in the Thunder at 3.
I like
feel like they're going to shock some people. 4, I got the Warriors right there, not even far behind the Thunder. 5, throw in the Lakers. 6, Trailblazers. Trailblazers going to make it. 7th, even though them boys old, they're young, I still feel like San Antonio going to make the playoffs. So I got the Spurs at the 7th. And as far as 8th, 8th. I'm going to throw in Memphis.
That's surprising. But with the point guard, you might got something because that team is built for him, in my opinion. You got shooters, you got people.
Damn, but we both forgot Utah. That's how you know the West stack.
Matter of fact.
So for Eastern Conference, I'll go first for East. Mm-hmm. Number 1, it's going to be out of Toronto and Milwaukee again. Mm-hmm. And after that, I'm going to go with Brooklyn. I'm going to go Brooklyn in 3rd.
I liked it.
Yeah, Brooklyn in 3rd. So Milwaukee, Toronto fighting for 1 and 2, Brooklyn at 3. Then I got them Indiana niggas. At the 4. And after that, depending on what happens with Kemba Walker, I got Hornets at 5th. Matter of fact, I'm put Philly 5. Okay. Then Hornets at 6. And then you already know like a Heat might make it. So I'm gonna go Heat 8th and Wizards 7th. But damn near fuck no. Take the Heat out. I'm gonna put, like you said, put Atlanta at the 8th.
That is nice.
Put Atlanta at the 8th. So Washington and Atlanta for the 7th and 8th seed.
Okay, so with me, I'm going to give my team number 1 in Toronto. Milwaukee will be number 2. My number 3 is actually Indiana. Mm-hmm. Just with a healthy Oladipo and what they did last year, you can't discredit that. Number 4, I don't want to put them there just because they losing Jimmy and Tobias, but they still in the East with Embiid and can't shoot. So
He's called this man can't shoot.
Won't shoot, can't shoot. Yeah. Either one.
The light, the yellow brick. He a yellow brick.
The yellow brick, bro.
Yeah.
So we got the 76ers at 4 for me. In the number 5 spot, I have the Celtics. Yes, because
I don't even think they make the playoffs.
I think they will, just because Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown finally gonna get what they want in being the main focus.
I don't believe in Jason no more.
Damn.
I don't know what it was, but
see, I always give second year players the sophomore slump excuse. I'll give them that.
Fuck that.
See, and we're saying that. That's why I feel like.
But you're right. With Kyrie leaving, they kind of open up the offense. They get. Yeah, you're right.
Terry Rozier may become Scary Terry again. At number 6, I like Charlotte. I really do. Because if Kemba does take the least amount of money, they can put some more pieces around here as far as role players. But I feel like they need to unleash Malik Monk. Like,
he needs to release himself.
I feel like
what are you talking about getting rid of him?
No, I'm talking about they
like,
need to
unleash him.
Yes.
Let him do his thing. I feel like it's him holding himself back.
Nah, he ain't holding himself
back. Look at Fox in Sacramento. He just doing his thing. Malik too laid back. He ain't got that killer right now.
He gonna get it.
He too comfortable.
I think he gonna get it.
He been hanging around Jeremy Lamb too much. He think he a lamb.
Man, fuck Jeremy Lamb. That nigga made me look so bad.
Wow, them game winning shots he hit.
Mm-hmm. Next, if they lose D'Lo and get Kyrie, I'm putting the Nets at number 7.
With Kyrie?
Yes, because Kyrie has shown that he's a distraction. Cause he
all about him.
Exactly.
If he ain't happy, he gonna show it.
Exactly, and that's why I put that team, that young team with him 7.
Yeah.
So, at number 8, I got the Hawks too, because I feel like in the East, that young team with Trae Young, you got him around number shooters. John Collins ain't no slouch. I feel like they can make it. They ain't gonna make it a lot of noise, but they gonna make it. So, that's gonna be good for them.
They just got to stay away from the nightclubs in Atlanta.
And trust me, I hope they do that. It's easy to get caught up down there.
So that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. So we hope you guys enjoyed this first episode of the off season.
You.
We're going to be trying to come at you at least once a week if possible. But we are always going to bring the best information to you guys. So once again, I am Kuda Main.
KJ Deezy.
And thank you for listening. We out.